Hello and welcome to Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters, and today we'll look into the breaking story that the Justice Department secretly collected 2 months of telephone records of reporters and editors at the Associated Press. Ben Wisner, the director of the ACLU's Speech, Privacy and Technology Project, joins us to examine charges made in a letter the AP sent to the Attorney General expressing their outrage. Then we'll assess the two stories in the news that the Republicans and Fox News have seized on and amplified, inviting further congressional hearings by the Republican chair of the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee, Darrell Issa. A former deputy director of the State Department's Bureau of Intelligence, Wayne White, a friend and colleague of the slain American ambassador to Libya, joins us to discuss the president's remarks at today's White House press conference with the British Prime Minister, where Obama castigated Republicans for dishonoring those who died at Benghazi by turning it into a political circus. Having called it a sideshow, we will discuss the president's efforts to dismiss the trumped-up cover-up story that the Republicans are trying to keep alive to apparently damage Hillary Clinton, the likely Democratic presidential nominee in 2016. Then finally, with talk of impeaching Obama and charges of political thuggery in the air, we'll look into the other major trumped-up scandal that is brewing over an effort by mid-level IRS employees to deal with the flood of 501c4 tax-exempt applications from largely Republican front groups claiming to be involved in social welfare that have been unleashed by the Supreme Court's Citizens United ruling. Ellen April, a professor of tax law at Loyola Law School, joins us, along with Brian Galley, a professor of tax law at Boston College of Law, to discuss whether the IRS's apology for flagging tax-exempt applications from groups using the word Tea Party or Patriot was more extensive than the IRS Commissioner Douglas Shulman first reported to Congress, and whether this will dampen Tea Party threats to sue the IRS. And joining us now is Ben Wisner, the director of the American Civil Liberty Union's Speech, Privacy and Technology Project, which is dedicated to protecting and expanding the First Amendment freedoms of expression, association and inquiry. He has litigated numerous cases involving post-9/11 civil liberties abuses, including challenges to airport security policies, government watch lists, extraordinary rendition and torture. And additionally, he has testified before Congress and traveled several times to Guantanamo Bay to monitor military commission proceedings. Welcome to Background Briefing, Ben Wisner.
Thanks so much for having me on.
And this latest breaking story, so the information is still coming in, is based upon a letter of outrage that the AP sent to the Attorney General. Has the Attorney General yet replied?
If he has, I haven't seen it yet. And he does have some answering to do. It's an extraordinary request for records about journalists, not because it happened at all, which should be rare, but because, as you said in your lead-in, this was a request for 2 months of records about a half a dozen journalists and editors, and not just the phone calls that they made from their work phones, but also their home phones and their cell phones, various AP bureaus. I haven't ever seen this kind of fishing expedition for journalist records, and I think one of the effects of this is that it will intimidate journalists and also intimidate government sources for journalists. And the victims here are not reporters who are trying to break a story first. The victims are the public who won't get to read those stories. And, you know, if we think over the last few years about stories that we never would have learned about but for confidential sources of journalists, I'm talking about the existence of CIA black site prisons, extraordinary rendition, enhanced interrogation techniques, or as real people call it, torture, spying by the National Security Agency without judicial warrants. You know, these are all activities that the government tried to hide, even classified, but because of enterprising journalists and brave government sources, the public got to learn about that and you know, take action in response. And my fear here is that everyone who reads this, whether they're sitting in a government office or sitting at a reporter's desk, will have to wonder each time they pick up a phone, does the government know who I'm calling?
Well, as far as we know, the government have not said why they sought these records, but apparently there have been some previous public testimony that the U.S. attorney in Washington was conducting a criminal investigation and who may have leaked the information contained in the May 7th, 2012 AP story about a foiled terror plot. That was the one that was about the effort in attempt in Yemen that allegedly the CIA stopped stopped an al-Qaeda plot in the spring of 2002 to detonate a bomb on an airplane bound for the United States. Apparently, the FBI had already interviewed John Brennan, who's now the head of the CIA, to find out whether he was the source of this leak. So what do we know about this leak so far?
Well, again, we don't know. That was a very interesting story that John Brennan was someone who they interviewed. But not all that surprising, because remember, the majority of leaks of classified information that appear in our newspapers are not unauthorized leaks by whistleblowers. They're stories that were deliberately placed there by high government officials, sometimes at the behest of the president or the administration, other times because certain government agencies are competing with each other and trying to put out different versions of events and different stories. Interviewing John Brennan would be a good place to start when you're looking at information about national security leaks, because he is a very frequent leaker of that information, almost always with the permission of the administration, I would imagine. But again, even if the administration, even if the FBI is investigating a crime, and even if it's investigating a legitimate crime, I'm not sure here, there's no excuse for seeking this breadth of records, for seeking this much. I mean, again, they don't only know now if one of these reporters spoke to someone in government. They have the identities of everybody who these reporters spoke to in their public and professional lives over 2 months. And that's a tremendous amount of information about the work that journalists do, and it's a real threat to the kind of work that journalists need to do.
Well, you certainly don't have to tell me that, Ben Weisner. I mean, that is the basic modus operandi of journalists. I mean, this gets to the heart of freedom of the press. The very
right, and that's exactly right. And again, I don't want to hear more sanctimonious statements from government officials saying we have to root out all leakers of classified information. Because there are hundreds of such leaks every week. There have been tens of thousands of such leaks in recent years. And what happens when the government investigates only unauthorized leaks, it's almost worse than the public getting no classified information. We're getting a one-sided version, and the version that the people in power want us to hear. We need to really remember this, that whistleblowers who break the law can be heroes. And they are really an indispensable part of our democracy. It's much too easy to classify information. It's done for many of the wrong reasons, not to protect national security, but to protect reputation and to cover up criminal activity, fraud, wrongdoing, and abuses. We really need to learn about these kinds of things. And even in a case where some reasonable people would think that a subpoena involving very limited journalist records might be defensible, this kind of request, that really is a fishing expedition, it will be hard to justify. And under the Attorney General's own rules, the Attorney General himself should have been required to approve this request. And so I think one of the things we'll learn in the next day or two is, if Attorney General Holder approved this, why did he approve it? And if he didn't approve it, why didn't he approve it, right? We need to know how a request this broad, this far-reaching, was allowed to take place.
And, of course, John Brennan, in his testimony to the Senate, said that the irresponsible and damaging leak of classified information was made when someone informed the AP that the U.S. government had intercepted an improvised explosive device that was currently to be used in an attack, and that the U.S. government currently had that IED in its possession and was analyzing it. Do we know that was true, the timeline?
Of course not. We have no idea of knowing whether that was true.
Right.
I don't have any reason to believe that it wasn't true. But we count.
Well, if it was true, then you can see why they're upset then, right?
Well, look, we count on journalists not to just reprint the statements of public officials. They're not stenographers. Right. They have a job to do, to scrutinize them and to go out and dig and see if they're, and to verify them. Sure, look, I understand that there are some secrets that the government legitimately wants to keep. You know, they don't want to reveal how they engage in signals intelligence. They certainly don't want to reveal the identities of their undercover agents. And in cases where that kind of information gets leaked, I could understand wanting to do a serious investigation. But too often, these investigations are driven by politics and not by national security. in response to criticism from members of Congress, to bureaucratic disputes. You have to have an awfully good reason to go and seek this kind of information about who journalists are calling on the phone. It should be a last resort. It should be very, very narrow. And that has always been the practice of the United States government. It is not very common for federal prosecutors to seek records from or about journalists. They have to be approved at the very top. And I really am genuinely curious to see how they're going to explain this one.
Well, Ben Weiser, I thank you very much. And we're obviously going to stay tuned. And thank you for filling us in on what we know so far.
My pleasure, Ian. Take care.
You too. Again, I've been speaking with Ben Weiser, who's the director of the American Civil Liberties Union Speech and Privacy and Technology Project, which is dedicated to protecting and expanding the First Amendment freedoms of expression, association, and inquiry. He has litigated numerous cases involving 9/11 civil liberties abuses, including challenges to airport security policies, government watch lists, extraordinary rendition, and torture. And additionally, he has testified before Congress and traveled several times to Guantanamo Bay to monitor military commission proceedings. We're going to take a brief station break, and we're back talking about the trumped-up Benghazi story that the president tried to put to rest today.